the book of Revelations, there are seven seals. Seven trumpets. Seven vials or bowls that pour out. The seals begin to be opened in the sixth chapter. And John says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Now these four creatures called beasts, which is really a mistranslation, are encountered in the fifth chapter, worshiping God around the throne. They're like the cherubims, like those that sang holy, holy in Isaiah 6. John gets the orders, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's Antichrist. That's not Jesus Christ. That's not the Christ, the Messiah. It's one imitating him. He's on a white horse, as Jesus will be on a white horse in the 19th chapter of Revelations. He has a bow, no arrow in it, as we've said. For Antichrist comes to power first with cleverness, comes to first power with attractiveness. He comes with a bow, no arrow in it. He begins to conquer after power is given to him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, and obviously it's not Christ. Christ is the Lamb opening the seals. When he'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. To skip along, that which follows the rise of Antichrist, which means substitute deliverer, is war. He doesn't come in by war. He brings war after he comes to power. When he'd opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Famine follows the war. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. The fifth seal reveals the souls of the martyrs. The sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. These are things yet to come on this earth. The Antichrist is not yet revealed. This is the 70th week that Daniel saw in the Revelation of God's dealings with his people Israel. I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now there are those who tend to mock the fact of a future tribulation, and they'll point to Christians persecuted throughout history from the time of the martyrs in Rome until persecutions in recent history, persecution of Christians in China in the worst days of the takeover of the communists in that land, and say, "Saints, going through such tribulation would mock at a comfortable American church looking for a tribulation yet to come." The fallacy of that argument is a failure to distinguish between tribulation, which is guaranteed every saint of God as long as he's in this earth. "In the world ye shall have tribulation," Jesus said. Paul admonishes the Romans to glory in tribulation, for it produces endurance, triedness, proven capacity to stand. But that's tribulation in the world, allowed by God at the hand of the world, which hates the Christian without a cause, as they hated the Master. What the book of Revelation is talking about is not tribulation per se. It is what in the Greek is expressed as the tribulation, the great tribulation. But more apropos, a tribulation that is the result of God's wrath. Not a tribulation which is the wrath of men alone against God's church. Not a tribulation spawned as the wrath of the devil. And believe me, in the great tribulation, there will be a lot of tribulation that comes from Satan and from the beast when he is fully revealed. But the tribulation that's the great tribulation, here it is. It's the great day of his wrath. It is the wrath of the Lamb. It is the tribulation, the great tribulation, beyond what man or even the devil could do. It's when God finally pours out his wrath. It's when, as the 19th chapter is going to say, Jesus treads the winepress and the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Following these vials, following these trumpets, following these seals, will come new heaven, new earth, description of the new life to come. Prior to these seals and the wrath of God is the history of man as we know it before the church is taken away. These seals, these trumpets, these vials are God pouring out his wrath on the earth. There's a parenthesis passage in the 7th chapter. And then you come to the 8th chapter when he had opened the 7th seal. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now there are those that try to make the trumpets that follow come out of the 7th seal. I like to take God's book simply as it speaks. The 7th seal, following that outpouring of wrath just described, produces stark silence. And then I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. I'm painting with a broad stroke again the wrath of God to come that comes from His hand, not just tribulation of the saints on earth. This is from God. I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. The first angel sounded. Sixth verse says, the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Yeah, this is going to happen on this earth, yet to come, all encompassed in 7 years. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Now, there are some goony birds that live under the illusion that they can go through all this. I wonder if they really read what the nature of this tribulation, the great, is. I repeat, yeah, this is going to happen on this earth. In 7 years, it'll all be encompassed. The first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Put flesh and blood on the people of the earth at that time. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. That's the earth you're going to live on if you're here. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Third angel sounded his trumpet, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Here in Los Angeles, you saw the panic when a little small portion of the city began to realize there was a potential contamination in the water supply. I repeat, this is going to happen on this earth, all of it within a 7-year period. God's wrath. Fourth angel sounded his trumpet. Seven seals have been opened. Antichrist has come to power in that sixth chapter. Fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. Man, God's going to make the devil and Antichrist and sinners know how important that number three is. You say, Scott, don't you emphasize three too much? Not nearly as much as God does. Third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon. Three is the number of divine manifestation. God's pouring out this action, not man. Third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. And the night likewise, pitch, blackness. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. If you think that's bad, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 three times. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. If you think it's been bad, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth that remain, because the next three will dim what happened previously to insignificance by comparison. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, the abyss. He opened the bottomless pit, God's holding chamber, for demons cast out of heaven when Lucifer was cast down that are not allowed to run free until God looses them. Out of this bottomless prison cell of demon angels, there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the earth were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke the sun and the air, already a third of it gone, now is darkened with a smoke. Suddenly, that smoke covering the earth, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Not like any locusts ever on this earth. These are demons. Unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Locusts normally eat grass. Neither any green thing, neither any tree. The target of these locusts, only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now let me tell you, the 144,000 sealed are not the church. But I haven't come to that point yet. God will seal to Himself during this period out of His people, out of Israel, 144,000. And they're not going to be touched. And I'm sorry, Jehovah's Witnesses are getting a little ahead of God. He isn't ready to seal them up yet. And when He does it, He'll do it the way He says He does it in this book. But whomever's not in that crowd that God will seal, and that's another passage, whomever's not in that crowd, every man on the earth is to be hurt by these scorpions, locusts who sting like scorpions. To them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. Their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Anybody here ever been hit with a scorpion? Probably those that had been might not be here. But this sting will not kill. It will torment with pain. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Man, this is not a bad dream. The smoke's going to cover the earth, and there are some goony bird Christians that think they can just survive this and still bring in the millennium. Smoke over the earth. Locust demons stinging like scorpions. Death shall flee from those who seek it. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Who ever saw a bug like that? This is not a locust bug. It's a demon. On their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. Visualize one of those buzzards zooming in on you. Old Evil Older's eyes widened when he saw me. Well, he sees one of these. Can you see old George saying, "Hey, look, it's back off, I'm Duke Majan." Their faces were as the faces of men. Get this picture. I repeat, I'm painting in broad stroke. There is a wrath to come. A wrath from God's hand. The Lamb opened the seals. It's the wrath of the Lamb. The angels before God sounded the trumpets. They had hair as the hair of women. Teeth as the teeth of lions. I mean, picture it. Don't symbolize this. It's not a symbol. John was trying to describe them, but they were literal beings out of the bottomless pit as the smoke came forth, suddenly materializing everywhere man was. Bang! Locust-shaped creatures, stinging like scorpions, bodies like a horse, face like a man, hair like a woman, teeth like a lion. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, here come two more. Hereafter, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." That area of the seat of Babylonian devil spawned substitute religion for the religion of the true God. Some demons were bound there, whereas others were bound in the bottomless pit. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, literally, were prepared to be released at that set time for to slay the third part of the men on the earth. For 5 months, those demon locusts, they couldn't kill, they could only torment, and men would beg for death as they suffered for 5 months. The only exception being the 144,000 with the seal on the forehead. That means these demon locusts had to have the intelligent ability to see the seal. And still under God's dominion, they wouldn't touch those. The number of the army of the horsemen, this is the crowd of demons behind these four terrible demon angels bound by the river Euphrates. We're right back to that biblical understanding. There is a dominion that the prince of the power of the air has under God, and there are superhuman demoniac angels, some of whom are bound, some of whom are locked in the bottomless pit, some of whom run loose like those that claim the demon boy of the Gadarene. Enough of them to drive 2,000 pigs crazy, who begged Jesus not to send them to this same bottomless pit from which the smoke would come out of. With these four evil princes, supernatural angels, they had with them an army of demons. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. How many know how much that is? 200,000 is 200 million demons. Now, we don't know how many demons came out to fill the earth as locusts. We don't know how many demons have been running loose, possessing and oppressing the men of this earth under Lucifer. But those behind the four demons bound at Euphrates, 200 million demons running loose. Some shallow-minded Christians today, thinking they've discovered a new truth of demonology, pit themselves against such an army. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Only can we match that if the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. I understand and respect the power of the devil. Greater is he that is in us. Man, this is an army. Thus I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses, it's like no horseman ever on this earth, the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. You know, some people preached on this verse and said those locusts were helicopters. Man, I'll take 100 helicopters against one of these. In fact, change it. I'll take 1,000,000 helicopters. All a helicopter can do is wipe me out. Look at these horses. Heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads. I mean, catch that one galloping up the street. I'm still painting with a broad stroke as we look back in history and saw the broad streams and symbol. This is not symbol. These are literal demons. Tails like serpents with heads. And with them they do hurt. But man still didn't repent. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Then comes a parenthesis. The seventh trumpet hasn't even blown yet. We haven't even started the vials. This is the wrath of God yet to come. 14th verse, 11th chapter, the second woe is past. Remember the angel said when he got past the fourth trumpet? Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants that remain on the earth because of the three woes yet to come. The fifth was the first, the sixth was the second. Now, behold, the third woe, the seventh trumpet cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Then comes the great war in heaven, and Satan is cast down onto the earth. We're now ready for the vials. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying in the 16th chapter to the seven angels, go your ways now and pour out the vials. The seals were opened. The trumpets were blown. Now pour out the vials. All of this is going to happen in 7 years. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. Man, they have put up with everything said. The locusts have stung them. They suffered 5 months. Those demons from the Euphrates, 200 million of them, killing a vast part of the men on the earth. War in heaven, and Michael cast down Satan onto the earth. And in his wrath, he attacks the man-child, which is not the church, or stays there to attack it, and God catches him away. And the woman, which again is not the church, is grievously persecuted by him. And now come the vials. The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. Antichrist came to power, first seal. Antichrist entered into a treaty with God's people in that 70th week. The false prophet had risen up, caused all to bow down to him. The marriage between the false church and government had occurred. The mark of the beast, as God sealed 144,000, the great imitator, sealed those that were in his hands. Now comes the vial. There fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. A third of it had been blood before. Now every living soul died in the sea. A third was gone. Now they all go. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. A third became bitter and poisoned men who drank it earlier. Now they all become blood. The fourth angel, 8th verse, poured out his vial upon the sun. And power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Look, I repeat, I intend to be redundant today. I'm still painting with a broad stroke. There is a wrath to come. There are 7 years described here of wrath like this world has never seen. And some people get the idea, the church gonna go through this, bear up under it. Men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues. It's from God's hand. They repented not to give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. That false prophet and the false church caused men to bow down to him. His true nature. He came in with a bow and no arrow. He came in riding a white horse. He came in out of obscurity. He was given power. After given power, war follows. And he takes over. He sets up his kingdom. What's that false prophet look like? Let me just pause right in the midst of these vials. Go to Daniel. The 11th chapter of Daniel is the one that gets out of imagery into history written in advance. Daniel saw the kingdoms of the world as we've seen, and I ought to be able to reel them off now from Sunday after Sunday. We've painted broad strokes in the prophecy of history. The image of Nebuchadnezzar the king portrayed all the kingdoms that flowed out of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian empire, the golden kingdom, the Babylonian, the silver kingdom, the Medo-Persian, the brass kingdom, the Grecian empire that followed, the legs of iron, the Roman Empire that followed, the 10 toes of iron and clay, a reconstituted Roman Empire, including at least 10 kingdoms therein. The beasts out of the sea of confusion and controversy the peoples of this earth. That portrayal of beasts and symbols had the lion, the old Babylonian empire, followed by the bear, higher on one side than the other, the Medo-Persian empire. Three ribs in his mouth. The kings that were conquered as the Persian Empire rose to prominence. The leopard with four heads. The Grecian Empire, followed by a nondescript beast, incapable of description by an earthly analogy, stomping and chewing everything in its path. The Roman Empire with ten horns. Later symbols coming to portray ten kingdoms that come out of it. The ram and the he-goat, the next vision of animals that Daniel saw, which concentrated world history into the ram, which is the Medo-Persian Empire. The horns describing the two divisions of it. And the he-goat with the notable horn, which was Alexander the Great, seen in prophecy before he came on the scene, moving so fast that the vision indicated the animal hardly touched the ground, his speed of movement in conquering, as he charged into the ram and conquered the Medo-Persian Empire. The notable horn broken off, the untimely death prophesied of Alexander the Great, followed by horns coming up, the generals as they divided his kingdom, and then a little horn, the last days, that would rise up, which is Antichrist. In the prophecies of Daniel, he made it very clear that in the time of those ten kings, the reconstituted Roman Empire that would give their power to one who would be one of the ancient Grecian Empire, that's when these things would come to pass. But then a final king will rise up, which is Antichrist, 11th chapter, the king of the north, in the 11th chapter of Daniel. This describes Antichrist. The king shall do according to his will. Just annotate each one of these things and ask yourself if any king in history has ever done this. The king shall do according to his will. One, he shall exalt himself. Two, magnify himself above every god. Three, he doesn't do this when he first comes in. He comes up in obscurity. His estate, he's a vile person, the 21st verse says, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. He shall come in peaceably, riding the white horse, the arrow without a bow, or the bow without an arrow, and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. With the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him. After the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably. But then his real nature comes out in the middle of the week when he breaks the covenant with the Jews. Then these traits come forth. The king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself. This is the last great world ruler. He shall exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Power is his whole gluttonous ambition. Nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. He will begin to worship the God of force. A God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. He shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. There describes in the next two verses the preparation for the great war of Armageddon. In the 42nd verse, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He'll finally conquer in the final battle that king of the south. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. He'll not have absolute control over the whole world. And as he is conquering Egypt, trouble and tidings out of the north, the land of Gog and Magog shall trouble him. Out of the east, therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly make away many. Now we're getting ready for Armageddon as he exerts his power in war over all. Now the red horse of war in full bloom. He shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. That's not Rome, by the way. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now that's the background of what we were reading in Revelation as we come to that trumpet. That vial, the fifth angel, 10th verse, 16th chapter. That seat of Antichrist just described has come to power. Daniel just said he'll come to his end. Here's the beginning of it. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. They gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. You know, a lot of people do not want to accept the fact that God's the boss. Jesus said, "No man cometh save the Spirit draw him." Though some people dumb enough to think they can sort of keep a little radar screen up here and decide when they will come to God. God still, the theological jawbreaker is, he is still in control, exercising prevenient grace. You don't come to God at your convenience. And people are forever bogging down, unwilling to take God's prevenient grace and the revelation of truth when they get it, because they're worrying about the people that don't know what they know. Man, they're in God's hands, as Paul said, and he's a just God and he judges according to knowledge. But when you've got the truth, you better act on it. The day will come when all of this, you say, how could this happen? It's already written down. How can this be happening on the earth and nobody's repenting? The Holy Spirit's not drawing them. God's Spirit works on your arousements. When you want to change your life and when you want to make God your master, you better act then. I confess many times, I don't like God bossing me around. I'm like every other sinning man, which includes all sinning saints. Which includes all saints. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. God's problem's not the length of our hair, the color on our face, or the clothes we wear. It's that bit in our nature. I want what I want when I want it. I want to be the boss. God is the boss. Well, Bacraki and Megory, I'm going to pass judgment on him. And if he gives me this knowledge, I refuse to take it unless he's nice enough to give it to everybody else. Stay with the locusts. Stay with the seals. Stay with the trumpets. Stay with the vials. When God's grace comes, this is the doctrine of election taken far out of context by those over Calvinistic. God is the source of prevenient grace. He initiates. I'm not on that subject today. But what does the Bible say the 144,000 are?
This is the end of Side 1. For the rest of the message, please turn tape over to Side 2. Thank you.